This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich getting ready for kickoff here as it is 2.5 everywhere in favor of Green Bay, except here at Circa. So we're still sitting at 2. 37.5 everywhere except for MGM, where we are 38. Mike, I did throw in an over 37.5. I did throw in an over on the old over 166.5 for Malik Willis in this one from a passing standpoint.
Yeah, I took some Derrick Henry over 73.5 rushing yards here. I agree with you on the over. I have not bet it. I'm probably going to regret it. We'll see. Maybe I'll get something in game here. I also took Malik Willis over 175 at plus 115. So we're rooting for Malik Willis, rooting for some Derrick Henry. I've got a little bit of Ravens in my account, but it, a number on the other side of three, so no one really cares about that. It would still be Ravens.
It's the no one cares what you have in your account bet, right? It's the like everyone.
Yep, exactly.
Why are you giving out stale lines? It's like, well, I mean, that's what I bet it at. I mean, do you want to know if I bet it or do you not want to know if I bet it? There was at least reasons you wanted to bet it.
I got a better number. I would still bet the Ravens if I was playing a side here, although it's not one that I'd be running to the window to bet.
All right, let's get into some of these other games here, Mike Somich. It is Arizona and Cincinnati. It is a touchdown in favor of the Bengals at home. It is 53.5 is our total. You and I have kind of really ridden this whole Jacoby Brissett train as long as we can. We were a while there, it was on Wilson. A while there, it was on just passing yards. Now, kind of I'd moved over to passing attempts. The book has gotten smart to all of this. I look now, it's all about right. They're not undervaluing how terrible this team is at running the ball and just how much they're going to have to continue to just repeatedly throw over and over and over and over again. So I kind of wanted to get in on it again. I can't really get there. So I think this is kind of just a sit back and watch. I think if you're wanting to bet this thing, Cincinnati's either going to win by 17 or lose outright. Like I would just either bet Arizona on the money line or alts on Cincinnati.
Yeah, look, this is one of those where I like Cincinnati. It's tough for me to want to back a dome team from the south coming up north playing in colder weather where we're going to expect some wins. I think that doesn't affect Burrow when he's throwing the football as much as it affects Brissett when he is throwing the football. So a lot of positives here for the Bengals. One negative, the Bengals, the worst team in the NFL guarding tight ends. Pretty good tight end coming in here for Arizona. Mm-hmm. You can get Trey McBride over 79.5. yards receiving minus 101. I like that number for Trey McBride. I think he has the opportunity to have a big game here against the Bengals. I played the over. That was at 52, 53. I would still lean toward the over. I do think both these offenses have success. And I think specifically the Bengals able to score points, which pushes the Cardinals. So if you want to just look at a team total on the Bengals, if you can find something at 29.5 or lower, I would take team total Bengals over as well.
Seattle and Carolina. This is also at 7. Actually, let's circle back to this previous game. There are a few different teaser options this week. Would you tease Cincinnati or do you have any of the same kind of feeling that I do, whether it's like if the good version of Cincinnati's offense shows up, they should torch this defense and win at margin. But if it's a bad version, they could actually find a way to lose outright. Or do you believe that there's very little chance they lose outright here?
I would rather lay it than tease. Because I agree with you. I think that the bell curve for this one, the options on both sides of it are pretty drastic, and that includes Cincy winning by 20 points, right?
Yes.
And so I don't want to go into a game where I think Cincinnati is going to be able to pick a score offensively and tease that game down. I'd rather just lay the 7 if I wanted to get something in my account there. Or like you said, sell it out to 13.5. Sell it out to 14.5 and try and get plus money on it if you believe that Cincy offense is going to consistently move the football. I also think if you want to look toward this game as a same game parlay and just say, hey, look, McBride's going over. You're going to see Wilson go over. You're going to see Chase go over. You're going to see Higgins go over. You can have Burrow 3 passing touchdowns. It's a good same game parlay game as well because both of these defenses are bad. Both these offenses should have success. It's going to be chilly in Cincinnati, but not outright freezing. 15-mile-per-hour winds, so nothing too crazy from a win perspective either.
Seattle's on the road at Carolina. That is 7. Yep, across the board. Universally, 7 here in favor of the Seahawks. It is a 42.5 total here in this one. Mike, a very important game still for both of these teams. Seattle still has hopes for everything over in the NFC. And, of course, Carolina needs to keep playing well. Not that their season still comes down to week 18, but it is certainly don't want to lay an egg here at the end of the season. When you got at least a little bit of momentum, they're not good, but they're not bad. They are your quintessential kind of middling to slightly below average team. That said, Seattle, and you and I have had to have this conversation, unfortunately, too many times when we've had money on Seattle, which is, man, for 15 minutes a game, you're going, how do you stop this offense? Like, when you got these dudes doing what they're doing, how in the world do you stop this offense? And then for the other 45 minutes, you're going, what are you doing? How is this possible? Why are you sitting here playing with your food? And so I don't feel super comfortable laying it with Seattle. I think if there was anything, if I was playing this game, I think I'd actually be on Carolina. I know that's crazy.
I don't think it's crazy. I think if you're looking at a touchdown, Carolina's the right side. You're catching the 7. I did not bet it. I would want probably 8 here if I wanted to come in on Carolina. Kobe Bryant is going to be out, as well as Charles Cross. So one big piece missing on the defense and offense for Seattle. Give me the under here, Matt. 42.5. This is a Carolina defense that has been better than expected, specifically against the run. They've been able to stop that well. That means it pushes over to Darnold's side. You look on the Seattle side, it's been a good defense all year long. I think both of these offenses struggle moving the football tomorrow. So I'll take under 42.5 here.
Yeah, it is. It's just one of those things with me on the and now from a teaser standpoint, I actually probably would tease this one. I know we don't really love doing road teams and stuff, but like I actually would tease this one because Seattle's defense, I think, is never going to allow a game to get too far out of hand or anything like that. So I do believe that even if Seattle finds himself down in this game, it's probably only going to be like a field goal or something like that for the majority of the time. And so I think covering the 1.5, something like that, is certainly within the range of outcomes. So if I wanted a Seattle side, I would try to find a teaser partner before I would lay the 7. And then if I was just looking to play this game outright, I would be taking the points with Carolina.
Yeah, I would rather just take the points because I agree with you. I don't think this just feels like a 3-point game to me. Mm-hmm. Either way, it feels like it's going to be a close football game. We've seen Carolina play a lot of close football games. They're going to grind the clock in this situation, try and take the air out of the football, see if they can run against a Seahawks team that's been very difficult to run the football against. I just don't see the big plays coming here. And again, that's what points me toward the under. That's what points me toward a close game. And if that's the case, I'd rather take the 7, 7.5 with Carolina and just play the under.
The jumping ship here to college football, Mike, after the game, Dabo, I know everybody wants me to win football games, but it's more about how I win. That's what matters to me more than anything. That's my calling. That's my purpose in life. On transfer portal versus developing players and stuff or whatever. So apparently he is tripling down on player development as opposed to whatever. So if you are a Clemson fan, I would not be buying futures in Clemson. I would be selling off my futures in Clemson pretty hard because again, like you can recruit all you want to. We've seen it. So recruits just don't pan out sometimes. Yes. Sometimes your 5 stars play like 5 stars. Sometimes your 4 stars play like 4 stars. Sometimes your 4 stars play like 1 stars. Sometimes your 5 stars don't even make it on the field and whatever. It's like you have to be able to do the transfer portal these days and keep up with the Joneses. And if he's literally tripling down again on not doing that, then I don't think you can take Clemson seriously moving forward.
Well, it is fine to triple down on that. And it's fine for that to be the heartbeat of your program. Mm-hmm. But you need to go and fill out the pieces that don't work out with the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. Like you can just say, hey, I'm going to use recruiting as what I'm going to build off of. But like it would be like building a house and not putting any windows in. You got to add the windows at some point. And that's the wide receiver that you're going out and picking up in the transfer portal. The left tackle that you're going out and you're picking up in the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. The finishing pieces still are important to the overall product. And the fact that you're not going out and using the Clemson brand inside that transfer portal to be able to round out your team in a successful manner is just malpractice at this point.
So the Ravens won the toss and said, give us the ball, Mike.
Ooh.
So the Ravens
trying to play from in front.
Yeah, taking the ball here as they win the coin toss. So we'll see how this moves on. And a very interested team in this one is the Pittsburgh Steelers. as they are 3-point currently, and I should say currently, 3-point favorites on the road over the Cleveland Browns. It is a 34.5 point total. This is a weather game, at least. Should be some precipitation, should be some winds and things and stuff like that. And then also could be a game that they don't have to win, Mike.
I was going to say, if we see Green Bay jump out to a lead, any interest in seeing taking some Cleveland at 3, do those threes disappear if this game becomes irrelevant for Pittsburgh?
I would think, because here's the thing. You're not playing TJ, like, you're not bringing TJ Watt back from a lung injury if you don't have to. You know, so, I mean, like, you know he can play. If he sits out 3 mm-hmm. weeks in a row, who cares? Like, you're not going to feel bad about running TJ Watt out there in the playoffs if he's sat out a month. Like, you don't care. You probably want to get the old man some rest. You probably want to get, like, there's a lot of reasons for Pittsburgh, I think, to not take this game very, very seriously.
I agree with you. I think this is going to be fascinating to watch as we watch the Baltimore game play out, how that affects the spread in this game, and if that is going to be correlated, if people do want a piece of the Browns, if this game doesn't mean anything for the Steelers. So something interesting to watch there, because the 3, obviously a key number, but we mm-hmm. are seeing a juice toward Pittsburgh right now. So it would take quite a bit of money to move off that 3 toward the 2.5, plus 2.5 on the Cleveland Browns. So I'll be fascinated to see, depending on what happens here, if that does adjust.
Thoughts on a 34 total?
It's the weather in Cleveland makes it hard for me to want to play the over, yeah. And it's too. I've missed the under move, so I wouldn't play the under.
When we come back, New Orleans and Tennessee, Tampa and Miami. Any bets in our account? We'll let you know.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Any of y'all got Peacock out there on Help a Brother Out? Sliding my DMs.
I got it up here.
This is
Let's go. Sliding
my DMs. We don't get it here in the studio. Yeah. I can tell you what the
Are you serious?
I can tell you, I can give you the play-by-play of the 2023 Week 12 game between Buffalo and Philadelphia, because that's what we have going on in here right now.
There you go. Well, Baltimore officially running the football, I'll tell you that much. Derrick Henry already got 25 yards rushing. Stu Puntley ran for a first down. Keaton Mitchell added another 5. They are at the 30-yard line of the Green Bay Packers as Huntley drops back the pass, checks it down to Keaton Mitchell. He's going to get tackled. So we'll have 2nd and 10, but efficient first drive here from Baltimore so far.
Yeah, so it's a... It's an interesting scenario again here. We'll be scoreboard watching. We'll be line watching as well, because Pittsburgh will be influenced by this game for sure. So on the flip side then, if the Ravens get out to a big lead in this game, are you willing to lay the 3 with Pittsburgh?
No, because I like the Cleveland side anyway.
Oh, okay.
So I'm more, to me, it's Cleveland or pass right now. So I'm more worried about, can I get a good number on Cleveland than do I want to lay it with Pittsburgh? If you like Pittsburgh -3, I do think that if this game gets to 14-0 Ravens and it's not in your account yet, you probably want to get it in there, because I wouldn't be shocked if this goes to 3.5 if we see a big Ravens victory.
New Orleans is on the road at Tennessee. This is 2.5 in favor of the Saints, 39.5 to 40. Is our total. Mike Somich, I have had lots to say about the Saints here on this show over the last several weeks. I've not been the biggest lover of this Saints team. I will say I've laid the 2.5. I thought it was a cute little win last week by the Titans. We kind of expected it in the most dead of dead spots ever from a Chiefs team that had made the playoffs for the last decade and loses their, not only their starter, but their backup quarterback as well. The Saints, on the other hand, Tyler Shuck is actually kind of playing well. And then certainly they're not holding anything back. They're not holding anything back, Mike, because they got to like see what he's about, right? I mean, they got to figure out if they are we in the quarterback market? Are we not in the quarterback market? Are we okay with him? Whatever. So, like, I imagine you say full playbook here, a like full on effort to try to win, to see what he can do and all of that. And oh, by the way, since week 10, we keep going back to that, you know, just past the midpoint part of the season, the New Orleans defense is a top five defense in the NFL in EPA allowed. Like, they have been playing really, really, really good defense. And again, Tennessee's fighting. They just have no players. They got no dudes. They have no talent on the team whatsoever. So at under a field goal, I thought it was a play.
I'm happy you finally came around on this Saints team, Matt, because this is I'm on the Saints 2-2.5. I've got a Shuck Offensive Rookie of the Year ticket that I will obviously be rooting for. He probably needs to have a pretty good game here and in the final week to be able to cash that ticket. But this is a Saints team that has been a good football team for the last 4 or 5 weeks. I don't know if everyone kind of has realized that. They played a close game against the Dolphins, which they lost, but then they beat the Bucs on the road. They beat the Panthers. They beat the Jets last week. Tyler Shuck has an opportunity to end the season as a winning record of the New Orleans Saints at quarterback. He could go 6-4. Their win total was 5.5. He could eclipse the win total in just his starts for the Saints team versus their preseason expectations. This has been a defense, as you mentioned it, that's all of a sudden been able to play well. It's an offense that has weapons in Olave and Johnson that can move the football down the field. I like the Saints here. I think this is a number that got too much moved off of because of how the Titans played against the Chiefs last week. The Chiefs are a walking dead team.
Yeah.
We talked about that. We talked about Titans alts. The market adjusted the Titans up here. I don't agree with that adjustment.
Yeah.
I think that this should be a Saints -3.5, -4. So I'll happily take the -2.5 in my account.
Tampa Bay on the road at Miami as 5.5 to 6 point favorites. 44.5 is the prevailing total here in this one. Mike, no Tristan Wirfs in this one for Tampa Bay. That is a pretty big loss for them. A couple of other starters going to be out as well for Tampa. They're going to stick with Quinn Ewers down there in Miami. I rewatched that game, and sure, he made rookie first start in the NFL mistakes, but I saw a guy that like didn't really look like deer in the headlights and was okay throwing the ball down the field. He didn't really turtle up. It seemed like he had a little bit of confidence. I mean, it wasn't a good start by any stretch, but it was not a train wreck after I went back and rewatched it. I know the score got out of hand, but I think he did okay in his very first start in the NFL. I was tempted at the 6. There's only a couple 6s left. Most people bought those up, and there's only 5.5s left. Convince me one way or the other.
It would be Dolphins or pass for me. This is a Baker Mayfield-led Bucs team that just has not looked the same as the unit that we saw earlier. So it would be the 6 or pass or the 5.5 if that's available right now. I would rather, because I actually agree with your assessment on yours, I thought he played pretty good in that game. The third quarter was a disaster for Miami. He had a fumble, he had 2 interceptions, a turnover on downs. Everything got away from them. I don't mind the Quinn Ewers passing props here, Matt. I think that he's in a situation here where he's most likely going to have to be chasing. Like, we expect them to be down. We saw him stretch the field. He can throw the football down the field. You've got weapons on the outside. He's sitting at 204.5. I like Quinn Ewers over 204.5 passing yards here. That's how I decided to kind of back the Dolphins without backing the Dolphins.
I like it. This will come as no surprise to you. I played this one. Jacksonville on the road at Indianapolis at 5.5. When this was sitting 6.5, didn't have any interest. For whatever reason, this thing moves through the 6 to 5.5. And when it got to 5.5, I put the Jacksonville ticket into the account here. 48.5 is the prevailing total. I mean, Mike, I guess they're going to stick with, Philip Rivers. I mean, as a consolation, hey, you came out of retirement to try to help us out, but they're eliminated from the playoffs now. So it's like, why wouldn't you play the young guy and like see if he? I don't get it, but I mean, I don't think we've got an official word one way or the other as to what they're going to do at the position. I don't think I really care all that much. Still a ton to play for Jacksonville, nothing to play for Indy, and honestly, they're just not that good anymore anyway.
Yeah, we're still waiting to hear if it's Philip Rivers or Riley Leonard. Not a huge difference in the two. You probably want Riley Leonard if you're laying the 5.5 with Jacksonville. It would be Jags or pass for me. this is a motivation problem for me now. You mentioned it, that the Colts are eliminated. Jacksonville has a lot to play for. That alone, to me, wants to push it more toward the Jacksonville side. The difference between 5.5, 6.5 obviously makes a difference there as well, because you don't have that key number of 6 that you're dealing with. So I have not bet it, but it would be Jags or pass for me in this spot. Quick update for you, Matt. The Ravens go right down the field. Derrick Henry into the end zone. 7 for 48 and a touchdown for Henry on the first drive. 7-0 Raiders, 7 minutes left in the first quarter.
Playoff championship week in your fantasy. Derrick Henry has made your week already. Like, he can't bust for you on one drive. 48 and a touchdown on one drive, already over 10 points for you there in that one. So well done on all of you, Derrick Henry. I know that was trying at times, and you kept rolling him out there, but good on you, as he has 10 points on the opening drive for you in your fantasy championship week that took up half the quarter.
I doubt he is in that many teams in the fantasy championship, though. Considering where you probably would have drafted him and how he performed, it would have been a tall task to be able to kind of bob and weave into the championship with how he's played.
We are, again, this is, let's see the live line here in this one, because we are still with a team that hasn't had the ball yet. I know it feels like they should have had the ball because it's been a long time, but that was the opening drive. Yeah, it's 3.5 in favor of the Ravens without the Packers having touched the ball, Mike. So you can get the Packers on the other side of a field goal right now without them having had the ball yet.
Yeah, the problem is, like, the holes were pretty big. Like, that was Derrick Henry kind of had room to roam every single time, and we talked about the concern specifically around this run defense. It's why hopefully everyone tailed the 73.5 over on Derrick Henry, as that looks like it's that's close to bad beat territory one drive into the game. But it's one of those situations where I'm not sure they stop the run. And if you can't stop the run, it's hard to want to back a team in any case when you have another team that was willing to run the football down your throat. So hard for me to want to jump in on the Packers. Again, I had a pregame ticket on the Ravens, so I am tending to lean more toward in that direction than the Packers side.
Over in the quick update here as we get close to heading to break, Matthew Stafford -360 in the MVP market. Drake May at 3-1. It is a two-horse race at this point. Josh Allen back all the way out to 30-1. In the Offensive Rookie of the Year market, we do have Tyler Shuck getting a lot of love here, +475, but it is still Tet McMillan -280. Of course, he could almost lock that down this week if he had a big game against the Bucs, and a game that everyone's going to be paying attention to. Not the Bucs. Who are the Panthers? Come on, man. Help me out. Who are the Panthers playing?
The Seahawks.
Seahawks, yeah. Against the Seahawks defense, like, certainly would be able to lock that award up. It's basically a two-horse race. Egbuka and Henderson are 8-1, but I don't think they legitimately have a shot there in that one. Jackson Smith and Jigba in Offensive Player of the Year, -185, but Puka Nacua sitting there at +170. Seems to be a two-person race there in that one. Coach of the Year, Vrabel only -110. Mike McDonald +330. Kyle Shanahan +330. Ben Johnson 650. Liam Cohen 750. Now that could be the most interesting award that we talk about whenever we head into season there, because that one could be any one of those guys. Continue running through the NFL schedule when we come back.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In the complete opposite of what the Ravens did on their first drive, which took over half of the quarter, it took the Packers two passing plays of 40 and 39. Malik Willis, 2 of 2, 79 yards and a touchdown. Romeo Doubs gets the first one for 40. Christian Watson gets the second one for 39 and the touchdown. And we are all tied up at 7.
Pretty good start. If you tailed this on the props, as Derrick Henry has almost 50 yards on a 73.5. Malik Willis goes for 69 yards. 79 yards there. Already just 100 yards away from going over all the props we talked about with him. I wish I had bet the over now, as he got 14 points. I know you did at 37.5, so good job by you there. We'll see if the Ravens able to run the football. I'm assuming that's what we're going to see them come out and try and do, is they're going to start from their own 26-yard line here on the third drive of the game.
So I might be like a little bit of hyperbole in this, but maybe not, Mike. Malik Willis might be interesting to some teams out there in the offseason. You know, I mean, if you don't love Mendoza or Dante Moore, who, by the way, still might go back to college. Like, they we don't know for sure that Moore's going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a bridge guy, you know, like as a dude to get you to the next season or something, like, it wouldn't surprise me if he was a Jet or something, you know?
Yeah. He is a free agent this year. Okay. So he is someone who's out there. I'm
a Dolphin?
I wouldn't want.
He could be a Dolphin?
No. I guess he could be a bridge guy.
Yeah.
He's not a NFL starter that's going to win you a Super Bowl. So you can't go in there and say, "Oh, I'm going to add him to the team and try and make the play." Like I could see him as a bridge guy if someone wants to pay him for a couple of years, but outside of that, I don't think there's a ton of upside on Malik Willis.
I just got the landing spot. You ready? Chiefs.
Let's hear it.
What if Mahomes isn't ready to come back until like week 4? It would be worth.
What about the Colts?
It'd be worth getting a guy that like at least has a pulse to come in for a month before Mahomes could come back.
Yeah, I don't love Malik Willis in that offense. I like the Shane Steichen in the Colts would make more sense to me than it would the Chiefs. If you don't think Daniel Jones is going to be back at the start of the year.
Yeah, this is interesting. There's certainly some interesting stuff going on. With that. You know what I need to do? I need to get into one of these betting apps and see if they let me watch the game. You know, sometimes they show the game.
Yep.
On one of these betting
Caesars
apps?
Might have it up. Yeah.
Let's see. Come on. Can I watch it? Cannot. Brutal.
Cannot.
Brutal. They must not have a deal.
Just pay the $10.
They must not have
it.
A deal with the Peacock. You know, I don't ever remember to cancel anything. Do you want to hear my story? And this is embarrassing, and I'm going to say it anyway to everybody that's listening. You remember when we didn't have ESPN networks on YouTube TV for a hot minute? Well, I bought Fubo. Guess who still has Fubo? I have no reason to still have Fubo, and I've had it ever since whatever, because I haven't canceled it. I still have Fubo. And every time I think to cancel it, I'm like driving along so I can't cancel it. It's on my TV. And then I forget to do it whenever I get home. And I still have Fubo. I haven't opened it in months. And I still have Fubo.
Well, just go leave yourself a note right next to your Pastrnak goal note. Cancel Fubo.
Because that'll still.
Just do it in the break. God. You'll remember.
No, I can't do it in the break. I have to do it from the TV at my house. Because I don't,
you can't do it on your phone.
I don't know how to sign into it on my phone. I signed into it on my deal, and so I don't know how to sign into
it
on my phone.
You're ridiculous. Mess, man.
Still have Fubo. Is there any reason for me to still have it? Does it have anything that YouTube TV doesn't? I don't know.
You are literally the reason companies came up with a subscription model.
I know.
We'll just get them to sign up once.
It's the truth. It's the truth. It is grotesque. How many subscriptions I have. Like supplements, vitamins, TV networks, I have all of it. It's ridiculous. I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of it, but it's just reality. Love me for who I am, okay? Just love me for who I am.
Hey, Mike. I'm not complaining. Yeah. I find it entertaining.
All right. So let's get to New England and the Jets. This is 13.5 in favor of the Patriots on the road. 42.5 to 43 is our total. Here in this one, of course, New England, in theory, again, still has a lot to play for. The Jets do not. New England's without 5 starters in this game and might be out, and still might not have Trayvon Henderson. We don't know. That he's listed as questionable. So it could be 6 starters for New England. Yet that did not move the market at all. It did not move it at all when the official injury report came out yesterday. It was 13.5. It stayed at 13.5.
Yeah, I mean, it's Jets or pass at this number. Nope. Like, it's a big number.
It is.
And you mentioned the injury issues. I'm not like running to the window to put in a 13.5 ticket on the Jets, but it's hard to want to back the Patriots considering the injuries. You're going to have Drake May out there. Obviously he's the important Patriot that you're going to have on the offensive side. But at some point it's like, okay, I get it. Each of these players are not worth 1.5 themselves, but you know, Booty's out, and you're missing multiple pieces on the defensive side, including Spillane and Landry. Like, that has to be cumulatively worth at least something, and we've seen the market not react at all. So To me, it would be the Jets or pass here, but I haven't bet it yet.
Yeah, left guard Jared Wilson out with a concussion, as you said. Spillane, Landry, Booty, maybe Travion Henderson. Like, he is going to play. Okay, so we got rid of Henderson is going to play, but I think it's just too many for me. The Patriots, Vrabel is not the dude that like cares about how much he wins by. Like, there's, you know, sometimes you can handicap a little bit of the personalities of the coaches, and like Vrabel doesn't care if they win by 17 or not.
No, he just wants to win the football game, and that's that, and be healthy, especially when you have all these injuries. It motivates a coach to try and play a faster football game, because you want less plays for less likelihood of an injury, especially against a team which in a game which is not that important, right? That they should win this football game. He doesn't care if they win by 4, by 6, by 7, or by 30. And I wouldn't be shocked if we see a New England team that tries to play to like that 7-10 point win.
The New York football Giants are coming here to town to the Death Star down the road. This is now out to a juiced 2.5 in favor of the Giants. 41.5 is our total. If you were here with us earlier this week with me and Jeff Schwartz, I had the 1.5 in the account for the Giants. It's now jumped a point, and everything we talked about has come to fruition, which is the Raiders are trying to lose, as they should. This would be a franchise-altering, terrible win for them, because they lose, they have the number one pick in the draft. Then they get the choice whether they want Mendoza or Moore, or if they want to get rid of the pick, and then they can wait till next year or whatever they want to do, but you control everything if you have the number one pick. This is a pointless win in what they have done to try to, again, players don't tank, but organizations can. They have moved Brock Bowers to IR. They have moved Max Crosby to IR. It would not shock me, Mike. I'm being dead serious. If we wake up tomorrow morning and they've moved another guy to IR, like, it would not surprise me at all in all of this. And so the players are going to play hard, but if there's not the good players out there, there's only so much they can do. So I play this as a completely narrative bet that I rarely ever do. A complete narrative play on the Giants.
Yeah, look, I get it. It would be Giants are past the 2.5. You are correct. It feels like one organization is outwardly doing everything they can to create a situation where they do not play their best football. Bowers and Crosby are the two best players for them. They are out. So if you're taking those away, Genty's really the last offensive piece that you're worried about. There's not really that much left on the defensive side of the ball. On the Giants side, I'm not sure what game plan we're going to get. I still have a concern after watching them last week run the football like 20,000 times in a row, not allowing Dart to throw a pass until the second quarter. He ends the game with sub 40 yards passing. Like, are we going to get that game plan again where we're just super vanilla from the Giants and we're not going to really try and put points on the board, not try and stretch the field? This is tough because both of these teams are really incentivized to lose. You mentioned it's a franchise-changing loss for the Raiders. It could be a franchise-changing loss for the Giants, who could then trade that pick and get a bunch of draft capital to fill out the holes that they have in a roster that's actually decent. Like, you have your left tackle, you have your number one wide receiver, you have your quarterback, you think you got your running back. The pieces are there for the Giants. They just need more of them. It would be Giants or pass for me, but I can't bet this game knowing both of these organizations want to lose.
Yeah, I guess the only thing for me here is I assume Pete Carroll thinks that he's going to be back next season. And so it's in his best interest to lose this game because he thinks he gets the number one pick next year, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? The coaching staff's already a lame duck coaching staff for the Giants. They don't care whether they have the first pick or not. I mean, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter to them one way or other, right? I mean, like, they just go out, try to win the game because who cares, right? And like, so I do think you can at least get buy-in from Pete Carroll from the people upstairs, whereas maybe you don't really necessarily get that from the Giants. Like, hey, man, maybe don't go for it on fourth down. You know, or whatever, maybe punt it away and stuff like that. Whatever. Like, I think you can get buy-in from the coaching staff who thinks they're going to be there next year, as opposed to the ones that definitely are not because they're already lame duck status. Philadelphia and Buffalo, Chicago and San Francisco when we come back.
Welcome back. back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are 7-3 at the 11-23 mark of the 2023 Week 12 game between the Eagles and the Bills here in the studio, if anyone was wondering. That's where we sit with that one. 14-7.
Well,
14-7 here, Ravens and Packers at the 13-13 mark of the second quarter of present day, 2025. Tyler Huntley, 7 of 7 for 51 yards. Derrick Henry has 82 yards already. By the way, he has 15 carries in a quarter and 2 minutes. He has 15 carries and 2 touchdowns. Malik Willis, by the way, has only had the ball once. He threw 2 passes. That equaled a touchdown. So we are at 21 points of that 37.5 total that was out there. And like we said, if somehow you made it to your fantasy championship with Derrick Henry, for whatever reason, they decided to feed him this week and not last week when he didn't have a carry. He didn't have a single carry in the last 12 minutes of the game. And instead, he's got 15 already in this thing, 82 and two touchdowns.
Yeah, big Derrick Henry game. They're just handing him the football. And we talked about this pregame, that this has been a Packers run defense that's been struggling. They just actually had another defensive tackle carted off the field, Riley. So that's not a good look forward there for the run defense. And every time you look up, every time I look up, because I actually have Peacock here.
Yeah, there you go.
Every time I look up,
good needle.
Like a 6 to 8 yard run that's happening. It's just consistently 6 yard run, 8 yard run, 9 yard run, 8 yard run. And they're able to move down the field on the back of Derrick Henry. And we get to cash his prop early in the second quarter here, as he was sitting at 73.5 when this game kicked off. So we're already over his rushing prop. Now we just need those Willis passing yards to respond here, Matt.
Philadelphia on the road at Buffalo. They are 0.5 dogs, 44.5 is the total that you can get out there. Mike, really interesting handicap, because Philadelphia doesn't really have anything to play for. Buffalo definitely still does, but you have a quarterback that's a little banged up with a foot injury of all things, so there's that. He's going to play, but Josh Allen is the key to you winning. I mean, if he gets even mildly nicked up, do you just put him on the show? I don't know. This is such a weird, weird, weird handicap. Does Philadelphia, with nothing to play for, do they keep it super vanilla? Or the fact that the offense has at least looked somewhat okay the last 3 weeks, do you try to keep the momentum going there? Do you try to keep running plays and feeding AJ Brown? You know, it's a very weird handicap with a bunch of different factors that I can't quantify.
Yeah, the lack of quantifiability of this is the key there, if that's a word. But it is hard to quantify a lot of different pieces over here. I think you have to start out with the fact the Eagles are pretty much locked into the three. They can't really go anywhere from that position, and that makes it one of those games where you just want to get in and get out. You don't want to worry about getting people injured. I would expect that means we're going to see quite a bit of run here from the Eagles. They're not going to try and throw the football, try and be able to just kind of get through this game here. I'm sure they would love to win. I'm sure they'd love to have the offense going. But for them, not getting injured is as important as anything else, because they're locked into their spot. Buffalo's still playing for the division, assuming that the Patriots don't take care of business against the Jets here. Because of the situation of this, it's hard for me to want to bet it.
Yeah.
If Allen was healthy and this game mattered for both teams, I'd be betting the Bills. He's not healthy. It doesn't matter for both teams. I still lean toward the Buffalo side, because they have something to play for here. Philadelphia doesn't. I do think Buffalo is going to be able to run the football against this Philadelphia defense at least a little bit. And I don't trust Philadelphia. They're still just a team. I don't believe these last 2 weeks magically fixed the problem just because they played a couple bad teams. So I would lean toward Buffalo here, but I'm not going to bet this one. I think they're better games to bet this week. It's like you said, a lot of unknowns here.
Mike, is there any chance in the world that if the Patriots go ahead and win and lock up the division, that they decide to sit Josh Allen? Do you think that there's any?
Yeah.
Or at least or sit him after a quarter or after a something like that. Because again, it's pretty easy to say, look, the dude's got a foot injury. He is the only reason we win games. He's like basically the only reason we win games. What is the point? Like, what are we doing here?
Well, we don't know the extent of the injury either, right? We have gotten some information, but we don't know exactly how big of an issue this is. If it is a more severe injury than we're being led to believe, then yeah, I you just sit him. If you're not playing for anything, what is the point? You're pretty much locked into the five if you don't win the division. why would you not just go ahead and take that five seed and make sure that Josh Allen's going to be available? So I do think that is at least on the list of possibilities. So I think it's highly possible. No,
right.
But it is something that could happen. So I think it is at least relevant there. And again, it's another wrench in handicapping this game is we don't fully know what's going to happen considering New England plays earlier and Buffalo plays later. So they will have a result of that football game before they run out onto the field there up in Buffalo.
Yeah, it's just something we'll monitor. Of course, we'll be on and we'll sit and let you know anything that goes on. But I think with what we just know right now, it's almost unbettable, I think. It's just too much going on there with that one. Chicago and San Francisco is our doozy of a Sunday night football game. It is currently 3.5 in favor of the 49ers at home over Chicago. A very high 52.5 total, which I think is probably justified considering San Francisco's defense can be had. And certainly we've seen some holes in Chicago's defense as well. A little bit of life from that offense as well. And certainly a little bit of life from the 49ers offense as well. But Mike, real big deal here for San Francisco is George Kittle is very questionable, literally being called a game time decision here for this one. We know he and Purdy have a very, very good connection, and I think that matters whether Kittle plays or not, especially considering, you do not even have Ayuk, and so it's like it would be then at that point McCaffrey becomes your number one receiving option.
Then it loads the big Jennings game. We've seen it happen before. When you lose Pearsall, when you lose Kittle, all of a sudden Jennings becomes the guy. I think you look at Jennings props if Kittle is announced out. Give me the Bears plus the 3.5. Give me the over here. I think this is a San Francisco offense that can move the football against the Bears. I think this is a Bears offense that's going to be able to carve up the San Francisco defense. I like the Bears quite a bit here at plus the 3.5, but I do think that's going to just fly over the total. This is a Niners defense that is missing all of their key pieces. They just don't have the dudes to be able to run with Chicago on the offensive side. You're going to have Menungai and Swift who are going to be able to move the football on the ground. You've got the Bears' ability to move the football through the air with what we've seen from Caleb Williams. I think this is a situation where the Bears are able to put up 30-plus points here on the Niners. That to me, is an easy way to go to the Bears. I don't mind the plus 165 money line here. I think Chicago wins this game outright.
Yeah, it's certainly Bears. It's a heavy Bears lean for me, and I'll probably end up missing the best of this, but I think I want to see a little bit of this and get in live and just make sure that what I think is going to happen is going to happen. And play the Kittle thing is important to me as well, because he is, for whatever reason, him and Purdy just kind of have that. It's certainly not, it's not Mahomes and Kelsey type rapport, but like they've got a very, very good rapport out there. Kittle gets the ball thrown before he makes his breaks and all the different things like that. Like they've got that going on. And if he is not out there, that is certainly a huge Bears. Like the lean towards the Bears then becomes certainly a play on the Bears for me. But we won't know until 90 minutes before game time. And that is a problem.
Yeah. I mean, that's the half, right? If Kittle doesn't play, this is plus 3. I mean, so you have to kind of make the decision. Do you want the hook or do you not want the hook?
Yeah.
And if you want the hook, I think you have to bet it before that it's officially announced. If he is announced in, I think this stays at 3.5. I don't see you see a big movement. I wanted to make sure I got the hook. So as soon as I saw this 3.5, 110, to me, it ended up in the account. And again, I like the over here too. I think San Francisco moves the football against Chicago. But I think you're going to definitely see the Chicago offense have a lot of success against a banged up San Francisco defense.
Did we get a turnover or something? How are they almost about to score again? How are the Ravens almost about to score?
The Green Bay Packers went for it on their own 35 on 4th-and-1 and got stuffed. So the Ravens got the football. We had a decent run from Keaton Mitchell, a scramble, and now Derrick Henry takes it 6 yards to the 6-yard line. So going to be 1st-and-goal from the Green Bay 6 for the Ravens. Fortunate that Derrick Henry didn't score there, to be honest. 14-7 here, 9:20 left in the second quarter. Henry 16 for 88 and 2 touchdowns. It's 12 yards away from 100 yards in the first half.
Oh, boy. This is just one of those, I know you were high on the Packers, for the majority of the season. Now all of these injuries is just, it's going to be too much for them to overcome. It just really is.
Yeah, the defensive side of the ball, they just consistently got more and more banged up. They've never had their full wide receiver core in. Love injured, obviously, right now. Took the Ravens in this game, so not shocked by the result that we're seeing here. Again, the Packers also kind of locked into the 7. They don't have a ton to play for, and this is a very motivated Baltimore team as well. We'll see if Green Bay able to get a little healthier before we get to the postseason, but it's not looking great.
Again, that is still 14. Are we still... second goal, 14-7 there in that one. So very important game for the Ravens, not so much on the Packers side of things. The battle of the backup quarterbacks going at it over there in Green Bay. Guys, don't go anywhere. Me and Mike are going to stay here for another hour. It is the contest show here on VSiN. We will reveal the consensus plays there for Circa Million. As we get down to the nitty gritty here, somebody is going to win $1 million, get one of those big checks for picking games at an unreal rate. And of course, we will get the big reveal. 9 entries left going for $18.7 million over in Circa Survivor.